Welcome to Honeymoon Mindset. We are passionate about helping everyone be in an everlasting honeymoon phase just like us. We will teach you how to get to paradise in your relationship and stay there for the long haul. Shy away from real talk? No way. We cover it all. Fights, sex, past relationship, family issues, and way more. We are your hosts, Beth and James Deppa.
Welcome to Honeymoon Mindset. Welcome for another great episode. Today on this episode is another first. With me, with my co-host, is my wonderful, beautiful wife, Beth.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good.
Now, I need to clarify. My wife didn't have much time to prepare for this week because I hogged the book that we were of our guest today. And it's not just any guest, honey. It's another first, like I said.
Yeah.
He's all the way across the pond, as they say, on the other side, from merry old England. A friend of mine that I know from Business Breakthrough. It's a mindset group where we get together and we talk business strategies and help each other out.
Right.
His name is Johnny Pardoe. You there, Johnny?
Hey, James.
Hey, how are you doing?
Thanks for, thank you for having me on the show. It's 11 p.m. here, so I just finished another call, actually. But, yeah, it's been great to be on the show and talking to you across the pond like that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So are you staying up for the Zoom call after this?
I'm not, no. I think I'm moving, actually, flat or apartment, as I think it's called in the United States, tomorrow, yes. So I think I'll head to bed, but really excited to be chatting.
That's good.
We're very excited to have you here.
Yes. So why don't you first tell us a little about yourself, Johnny, and let our listeners get to know you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much for getting my book, first of all. And it's good to know that you are hogging the book in a way, James, which suggests that you're enjoying it. So that's good. Although I do give other people opportunity to read it as well.
I definitely will still read it.
Great. So, about me, at the moment, I'm a author. I've written 7 books. I'm a YouTuber and podcaster, and I'm also a mindset and confidence coach. But during my day jobs, actually, I'm a project manager. So kind of a little range of skills I have to use there, which is really enjoyable. But really, my kind of background into personal growth was I've been into it for a few years. And first of all, it came when I wanted to write my first book. And I started off with children's fiction. And I just like to write, basically, because I always was into those kind of stories when I was younger. I was always very creative. So I guess it was around 25, so a few years ago now, I'm 29. But basically, I was really thinking, what do I want to do in my life? And then it got me, I'm going to write some books. And then I started writing books. I started picking up information. And it got me into this whole new personal growth world whilst I was working in a job I didn't really like. And then I kept working and working and then going through jobs, going through lots of rejections and sort of had ups and downs. And yeah, I continued my writing. But about last year, 2019, early last year, I decided to get myself a mentor. And it took me into this whole new world of, right, what do I want to do apart from writing? And then I decided to start my own YouTube channel, decided to start a podcast. I decided to actually become a coach from there because I got so much value from coaching and I thought, oh, this could be, really useful in helping people. But then I was still very much in this kind of generic personal growth kind of area. And that's obviously a very big area. And then I started to think, right, what specific area am I particularly interested in? And then I thought I've had lots of kind of ups and downs and struggles with self-esteem and confidence. And then I'd noticed that people really, this is kind of an issue for other people other than me. So that's how I really started applying, learning stuff and applying and doing it to my own life and sharing it. So that's how I got into the whole self confidence and self-esteem area. And I'm really a believer that if you can up your self-love, your self-esteem, it's not selfish, because it's going to have a positive impact to others around you. When you're feeling good, when you're your best self, it will spray on to others, because people, for example, who don't like themselves actually can go out and hurt other people. But when you're your best self, if you really focus on making yourself a priority, loving yourself, working your self-esteem and confidence, then it's going to flow in so many different areas. And I've experienced this, and now that's really why I'm very passionate about sharing it with other people. So hopefully that's not too much of a long-winded explanation about me, James, and hopefully that gives listeners a little bit of an understanding of my background.
No, that's great.
Yeah. excuse me. I guess for Johnny and I, we met, like I said, just how I met Johnny really was through a business breakthrough. They did a breakout room in a Zoom call, and he was in there. And you're one of my accountability partners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In one of the 14-day challenges that we did. And we really bounced a lot of ideas off of each other during that time. And so that's where we became friends and stuff. And yeah, he wrote the book. We bought it. We read it. And now here you are, Johnny, on our podcast. So how did it feel with your self-esteem and confidence, putting all that those personal stories in? Did you have a lot of fear, a lot of turmoil on what people would think and feel? How did that affect your self-esteem and confidence?
Yeah, it's a really great question. Actually, I at the point of releasing the book, I was so excited, and I didn't have that fear about sharing things out about me, because I know that when you share something about yourself with someone else, it can actually have an impact. Someone else go, oh, I've been struggling with that too. And then actually they don't feel alone, but it also gives them confidence that that someone else has dealt with a certain struggle and they might be able to overcome it. Now, I've kind of managed to build through habits, build this real, real strong sense of self-love and esteem. And there's still a way to go. You know, the odd insecurity will still pop up now and then, but I have to work through it. But I've actually worked to a point where I'm excited to share things like that rather than kind of being worried. And it's really interesting, because I talk about it in the book. When I was in my earlier 20s, just being in my day job and in a meeting, even to just say my name in a meeting, I'd go bright red and hide. But now I'm at a stage, yeah. I share ideas, and I just go, I just chair meetings, I run Toastmasters, I do all these things. But like sharing anything about me now at a point is exciting, just to help other people. Obviously, I try not to go on about myself too much or to hear other people's side of things, but I get really excited to share because I feel like it can benefit other people sometimes.
Right. Yes. So, what controls a lot of people's self-esteem and confidence? Is self-esteem and confidence the same thing?
Yeah. So if you ask, I reckon if you ask 100 different people, you could possibly get 100 different answers of what their definition is. But there's some sort of like understandings of what self-esteem is and confidence is in different levels. But for me, self-esteem is really about how much you love yourself, how much you love yourself as a human being. And confidence is about your ability to do things. Now, I think, as I mentioned in my book, for confidence, you can have this generic confidence where you approach situations in life and you're like, right, I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. And you don't hold yourself back. And that's linked closely to self-esteem, how much you love and appreciate yourself. But then I also think there's confidence in certain situations whereby I, for example, I'm quite confident and play football, it's called soccer in the US. Yeah. let's not go into that one. But anyway, I'm very confident to play that. But if you ask me to do ballroom dancing, I wouldn't be very confident because I can't do that. So confidence can be generic across life, but it can be specific. Now, self-esteem is just about how much you love yourself and value yourself. But if you've got good self-esteem, you work on loving yourself and respecting yourself enough, and it's a muscle, it's a continual mental muscle, as I talk about. You've got to continue working it. If you've got that, you're more likely to have confidence going into situations.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you work on getting that muscle stronger?
The self-esteem one is really about doing, it's talking to yourself positively over and over again. Now, there's several different things I personally do, and different things will, people may relate to these and may do different things, but it's really about self-care. So looking after your mind, giving yourself that breathing space, journaling through it, talking through your problems with yourself. It's about saying nice things to yourself and actually catching yourself when you're saying bad things. So I'm at a state now where if I say something nasty, which is, well, not nasty, but I say, oh, you muppet, if I do something, I'm like, don't speak to yourself like that, Johnny. It's like, yeah. I can't. So it's about speaking to yourself nicely. And it's also about making sure you're surrounding yourself or with the, well, you're taking in the right information that could really, really help. So for example, if you're listening to things like the news constantly, now we need the news now and then to pick up on the stories, but if we're listening to the news, we're going to take in negative information and feel bad about things and maybe about our lives. But if we're pumping positive information, we're going to feel good about lives and ourselves. It's sort of a rub off. So taking in the information is good. Talking to yourself nicely is good. Taking care of your mind and body, so whether that's exercise, whether that's diet, those are absolutely critical things. Now, one thing I will recommend out of the suggestions is talking to yourself in the mirror every single day, just nicely, complimenting yourself for 2-3 minutes. And people find it hard. I've just done a self-love challenge sometimes, and I used to find it hard where someone told me she was like really starting to cry the first time. But actually, when she did it more and more, she started to believe it. So speaking to yourself nicely, but also making sure when you're not feeling good, you don't dismiss it. You're actually working through with yourself. I always like to think of it like you've got like a little child. I mean, some people may be parents listening, some might not. I'm not a parent myself. But imagine you've got a little child and you do everything for that child. You need to treat yourself like you're that child. So those are some of the habits I do, and then talk about it in the book for people to follow for the self-esteem. Now, for confidence, the only way to build confidence is to actually do the thing. Now, for example, if you're terrified of performing a speech in front of a load of people, then it may be like you've got a speech in front of your company at work. Now, that might be too big a leap to do, but you can do little steps on the way. You can start to have updates in little team meetings. You can update your manager. You can do a presentation to a friend and build it up little by little. So the only way to get better at confidence is to actually do the thing. But you've also got the self-esteem, talking to yourself, being with yourself. So there's different actions for both of those.
Nice.
So is confidence a little bit easier to build up than self-esteem?
I think they both can be quite challenging in some ways, depending where you're coming from. So self-esteem, I would say it depends where you're coming from, what situation. Now, self-esteem, if you've got like a lifetime of negative stories you've told yourself, you've got these beliefs of, I am not enough, or I'm not worthy of love, or I'm not lovable, or I'm pathetic, or something like that. And you built those stories just from, and those stories are built from negative events or interpreting events and putting them negatively in your brain. Now, that can be quite hard work from years and years of believing negativity to overcome. But I've done it. I had these beliefs of I'm not enough, and I know other people have as well. But self-esteem can be quite challenging to come in that way. So I'd actually say in some ways confidence might be easier, because confident, you get more confident by taking the action. Now, you can't actually become more confident until you take the action. So, for example, I skydive once and I'd never be able to, there's no way you can psych yourself up to be like, I'm ready to skydive. You actually have to do it and build yourself. And the same, I had the same anxiety when I was like trying to put my hand up and say something, but one day I did it and then decided to give an update in a team meeting. And I got the confidence much quicker when I actually took action. So in some ways I'd say that actually self-esteem is more challenging to overcome than the confidence. But if you've got the self-esteem foundations you're building up, you're more likely to take the action to become more confident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I would think once you get the confidence and you complete some, that's going to help build the self-esteem a little bit quicker and strengthen that. What do you think, honey?
Yeah, I agree.
So you talked in the book, and you mentioned it too, about talking to yourself like a little child. Why is that important? Why do we want to talk to ourselves as a little child?
Yeah, so this really came from a particular workshop that I did, but then it's weird how you like pick up a one bit of information and it's suddenly repeated a couple of times. So I was in a spiritual psychology workshop by a guy called Alan Kleans, who actually is mentored by Tony Robbins, but he does these workshops, and he talks about the inner child and the fact that you've got this 3 or 4 year old version of you who picked up certain beliefs when they were that age. And that child, when you're a certain age, you don't necessarily you pick up beliefs, but logically you might not logically be able to understand the situation as an adult, but those beliefs are trapped in you. So just talking to the child over and over again can help. Now, to share a little bit about me, that I share a personal share in it, I had a belief that I'm not good enough and I'm not lovable because I had a baby brother who died when I was 2 and a half. And then kind of, I had a lot of family needing to obviously go to the hospital to visit him, and I was being left with a lot of strangers. And then it took me kind of years, and like a couple of years ago, till I kind of came down to the root of it. And actually it does kind of make you emotional when you at it, but actually there's this child within you who's like very, very lonely, very sort of can be upset, but actually talking to your younger version can really, really help because they've got these beliefs. So talking to them, understanding these beliefs can help them. So for those situations when you struggled early on in life and you've got these negative beliefs, reinforcing them that everything's going to be okay is going to brainwash yourself into believing you're enough and you're feeling, you know, you are worthy of love.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. So in there, when you're talking about rebuilding your self-esteem, when you're getting down on yourself and hard, and it, you know, as it rears it ugly head again, especially when you start to make a lot of changes and get out of that comfort zone. You talk about finding somebody, talk about how important is it to have an accountability partner?
I think an accountability partner is really, really, really important. So you're sort of talking about when you're coming out of the comfort zone and facing new challenges, in particular that chapter. I'll kind of first stress that and then the accountability. So as you do come out of the comfort zone, more and more insecurities tend to pop up because that's your brain trying to keep you safe, trying not to come into the unfamiliar. So therefore the insecurities, the concerns, the natural negativity for your brain starts piping up. Now there's a couple of ways, things I suggest. There's a setback plan in terms of when you come up against negativity, actually working through a process. But there's also, as you just mentioned, accountability is a good idea because, and getting the right people as well. That's even more important because if you've got someone negative who doesn't really believe in what you're doing, then that's not going to help you. But actually having someone accountable, mm-hmm. because your brain is, the brain is trying to keep you safe. So it's going to come up with all sorts of excuses. And I found this myself. It's going to come up with all kinds of excuses. Oh, maybe we don't need to do that. Right. Oh, we don't need to do that. It's just like, it comes up with so much rubbish just to keep you safe. Now, if you're being accountable to someone else, they can logically see, you know, what you're trying to do and keep you accountable to it. And actually, mm-hmm. you don't just, it's not just hidden away in your brain. It's out there and you've expressed it. And I think there's various studies show when you've got an accountability partner, it keeps you like 80% more likely or 90% more likely to achieve it. So I think it's really, really important to, yeah, get an accountability partner in that respect. And just when you're coming out of your comfort zone. But I also think it's important to have a setback plan in case that you can go through with yourself, because you might not have someone with support. And these can be, I always emphasize the importance of a setback plan, because you can talk through it. They're going to be different for each person, but you can talk through to yourself, right, what's happening here? Why am I feeling this? And then mm-hmm. breathing deeply and then just going through it. Now that's my way. It might be different for someone else, but yeah, kind of a setback plan and an accountability partner is really, really kind of my strong suggestions in terms of if you're facing fear and coming out of that comfort zone.
Right. So if somebody's trying to change, you know, like, you always hear the phrase burn your boats. How's a setback plan different than burning your boats?
So the setback plan, when you say burning a boat, what do you mean by that? Sorry, just to check.
That's fine. I know Rob Dow says it and Tony Robbins says it. You know, when you're trying to make changes and go forward in your life, you know, you want to burn your boat. So you have no plan to fall back on. So you cannot change back to the way you were. You're always trying to move forward, try to strive to be always better. So how's a setback plan different from burning your boats?
Okay. So I understand what you mean by the burning your boats then. So burning your boats, as I sort of like understand it, is not falling back to your old ways. So that's kind of coming out of the comfort zone and facing new things, not giving up on yourself. Now, what a setback plan is doing, the setback plan is not giving up on something. The setback plan is purely to support you even more. So it's about you logically being present with yourself and thinking, right, okay, I'm not feeling so good. And then it's just like talking through, what are these insecurities? What do they mean? Why am I feeling that? So again, it's about self-awareness, which is absolutely crucial to self-esteem and confidence as well. But a setback plan, the difference between that is a setback plan is there to support you as well. It's not telling you to go back into a way. It's just supporting you along the way. Now, these are things that are going to make you feel good to encourage you to keep going. But it's quite important to make a setback plan quite simple, because when your brain's kind of like stressed or anxious, it's not going to be able to do something highly complicated. So it's really important to make the setback plan as simple as possible to be able to support you, to get you into a good state so you can continue to do what you're pursuing.
Okay. Thank you. Because I know there's some people there that would be like, well, you know, you're not supposed to burn your boat, burn your boat so you can't go back. So, you know, as you're talking about setback plan, they might've gotten a little confused. So
yeah.
How do you see somebody who's struggling with self-esteem or confidence, a friend, a partner, a loved one, how can you, what are some signs or something to watch for if somebody is struggling with their self-esteem or confidence?
Yeah, it's a tricky one because, it's not always evident, but there are some signs. So I guess it's things like you have to look for their changing character, because some people, naturally like to be quieter, and mm-hmm. don't like to be the heart and soul. Like some people, like in our work kind of socials, for example, I'm very kind of like chatty with people going from person to person. I love hearing about people's days, their weeks, what they're doing and everything. But then some people are just like quite quieter, and I know those people and chat to them, and they're perfectly fine and they're happy people. They just, you know, like to be a bit more introvert, but that's, you know, that's absolutely fine. I used to be quite, you know, I used to be actually quite a quiet person myself, but actually to spot for someone's change in confidence, it's really kind of seeing if they're, or their self-esteem rather, it's really if they're kind of changing their behavior. Are they quieter than they usually are? Are they kind of, what's their body language is key. So if they're not kind of like looking at you in the eye, that can kind of be a low level. So kind of looking at how that's different, looking at if they're kind of not doing the usual things they'd be doing. There's kind of a number of things. So it's like a non-verbal communication. If you can pick stuff out and their tone as well. So if they're like speaking perhaps in a different way, if they're, well, they might have a sore throat, but again, it could just be an off day. Or if they're kind of just, yeah, not doing their day-to-day activities that they usually would do. Or if they're not going to a social event that they might usually do. It has to be a number of things, but it can be quite difficult to identify. But really, you've got to approach it very carefully, and you might have to be, you know, quite cautious, because they sometimes I'll say no, but then you have to, and people don't like getting help sometimes, but then you might need to follow up. But really, those are some of the kind of things you might want to look out for, kind of a change in their behavior from usual.
And how about helping somebody who's lacking in confidence?
Lacking in confidence. So is that you mean about the signs they are, or what I would do to encourage them if they're lacking confidence?
To encourage somebody lacking in confidence.
Okay. So in confidence, it's very kind of, I always emphasize this point that you can encourage someone all day long, but I like to try and give people actionable advice about how they can encourage themselves as well. Because if I say something to someone to increase their confidence, that might, you know, temporarily work on them. But if they don't say it to themselves, then they're going to be a struggle. But what I would do to encourage someone's initial confidence is try and think, right, what are the positive things? What's going right for you right now? I'd say, what can you look to, you know, what can you look to do first? What's a very, very simple thing you can do? What are the benefits? What's the benefits of you overcoming this thing? And then what's perhaps what's going to happen if you don't do this thing? And then, yeah, like, and as I mentioned, break it down into very, very small steps can help. So, getting them positively minded, getting them thinking what's great and what the reward's going to be, and then thinking what's not going to happen, and then making those very small steps that they can do. And I've had it to me. I've like really, really been struggling when I was in the workplace, and I had managers saying, okay, we'll just do this and then you can do this. And then it works. It sort of builds it up. So it's kind of making it as simple as possible and as small as possible to take that initial step.
Okay. So now I'm going to really put you on the spot, John. Is that okay?
Of course.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
So now, I know you wrote this for individuals. How would a spouse, a partner, somebody you love, your significant other, how can you help, or how can you help each other with each other's self-esteem and confidence in a relationship?
In a relationship. So, as I kind of specified in the book, that that's actually one area I've always struggled. I mean, I dated a lot, but I've actually struggled to have a meaningful and long-term relationship, and I happily share that. But in terms of really good relationships that I've seen, so I've got like my parents, for example, and people I know, And then when I've seen actually friends when it's not working so well, or kind of when I've been dating and it's not working so well versus when it has worked so well, is kind of, that's the relationship, but how you sort of support each other is about complimenting each other, giving each other appreciation, because when you're giving appreciation, it makes them feel good about themselves. And that's true in any relationship. And it's also about making sure you sort of allocate time, so actually people can see you're a priority. And I see that a lot good in good relationships. I think it's also really important to, one, work on the communication with yourself, but also the communication with anyone in a relationship. So the quality, yeah. So asking good quality questions yourself, understanding what you're going through, and then making yourself feel better, but then also asking how can you improve a relationship can help as well. I'd also say look out for signs where you like, as we were sort of talking about them, when you're picking up, oh, their vibe's not as good today, there's something, there's a change in their behavior. And then it's about asking what's up and what can I do to support you. And then there's also the point that I always see kind of from good relationships that I've witnessed, is that there's always this kind of these little things, like just saying, oh, I appreciate this about you, you're so good at this. And then it's also, and then it's also about being honest about what the flaws are, but also saying, you know, we're all human, we've got them as well. But I would say the kind of the key one, I'm sort of overlapping of all of these, is the communication element, in terms of good quality communication with yourself, good self-awareness, and good quality sort of double self-awareness in that relationship as well, so that you're able to identify any struggles you have with your self-esteem and what's bringing you down, and actually what understanding what they might be going through to be able to lift their self-esteem as well.
Yeah. So do you think having somebody by your side like that helps with your self-esteem, helps you get through your self-esteem, those low moments, those low times, those hard times, and your self-confidence?
I think so, definitely. I think have not just a spouse, but kind of like the right people around you definitely helps. Now, we can't impact what other people do, but we can choose who we hang around with. And there's all the self-love and stuff you do by yourself that's really, really important. I talked about like taking care of yourselves and speaking nicely to yourself that I went on about. But if you've got a very negative environment around you, it's going to be significantly harder to do those things. Now, if you've got a positive environment around you, like we talked about the Business Breakthrough Group, we've got such uplifting people who kind of make you feel better. Whilst actually, when I talk to this about to like certain people I'm close to, they're like, I don't really understand what you're doing and things like that. But if you're in a relation, going back to the relationship thing, if you're in a toxic, I've spoken to people kind of like potential clients or clients, and they've had struggle. They've had such low self-esteem because they've been in a toxic relationship. Now, from kind of the understanding, they weren't doing an awful lot to kind of look after themselves. But even if they were, it sounds like it's going to be an absolute challenge to love yourself if you're in that toxic environment. So having the right people around you is only going to support you to feel good whilst you do those things.
Now, does your spouse or significant other, partner, do they have to be the accountability? What happens if they don't want to be your accountability partner?
In terms of accountability for your self, you know, your just kind of yourself.
You can go talk to whatever. And, you know, that's not their cup of tea or their they're not comfortable with it, maybe because they're insecure themselves or whatever.
Okay. Well, I think it's important that you have this accountability person, but if your spouse or partner doesn't want to be it, then that's up to them. Like I mentioned a point earlier, is that you can't actually change other people. Now, if you're trying to improve yourself, you might just get a close friend or someone, you've met on an online group, or even a coach or mentor that you get to kind of keep you accountable to working on yourself. But if your spouse doesn't want to be that accountability partner, in my view, that's fine. But if they've got an issue with you working on yourself, then you kind of need strong communication to actually explain why you're working yourself, because you don't feel good, and actually explaining the benefits that you're going to have a good relationship. So you're going to get a better relationship because you're working on yourself. But I don't, if they don't want to be that person, if they don't want to be that accountability person, I think that's fine. But they've got to understand that you want to work on yourself and you want to feel better about you.
Right, right. Do you have any questions, honey?
I guess just going back to talking about the people you're around, I don't know if you wanted to dig any deeper into that. I think I've heard what you're a combination of the five people you're around the most or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you can also put it on that people. How does social media, do they count as one of those people? What you think there, Johnny?
Yeah, so there's a couple of thoughts that came in my head then, as usual, that when you said that, in terms of the people you're around. So first of all, when you talked about social media, I think that kind of links to information, and that actually is a person you're around. So if you're scrolling through social media all day and looking at negative people, negative posts, or even this is another area, if you're comparing yourself or just looking at negative news, then you're probably not going to feel as good. But if you're listening to someone like Tony Robbins or Rob Roberts, or obviously our favorite James.
Yeah, my wife's favorite too.
Oh, awesome. If you're listening to Rob or someone, you're actually kind of hanging out with them all day, or every day, not all day. If you listen to a podcast all day, you probably get anything done. But if you're like listening to them every day for whatever, 15, 20 minutes, you're actually surrounding yourself with them. There's another point I was going to bring up then. It slipped from my mind. It's gone now. But yeah, I would say your social media and what you're listening to is really important, because that's kind of who you're hanging out with. You're taking on board their information. So like the other morning, I was working out, doing my morning, and I'm still waking from it now, but like just had a rest day, just recovering off the topic. But anyway, I was listening to Tony Robbins whilst I was doing it. And then I'm just like, I just had like suddenly all this energy and like this belief in myself. And I listened to this, one of the UK's best therapists called Marissa Peer. And I've got these audios I listen to every day. They're about sort of embedding new messages and beliefs into the subconscious. And then I'm just listening to her and I can hear her voice. I can hear Tony. So it's like I'm hanging out with these people. So it's really, really important that you can take in the right information that's right for you. And we're all going to like different information, but make sure you're sending in good messages from the people you're listening to. But it's also like we're talking about hanging out with people who are going to support you in that positive environment as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So have you found yourself having to potentially change who you're hanging around with that might be dragging you down? And if you have, how have you handled that?
It's not so much actually, but there is a good point you've reminded me about there, in that there are some people who might be close to you who don't quite, you know, believe in what you're doing. And how I handled that. So I've got an example that actually I've got a close family member, and then I was telling him about this coaching and speaking. And like, when I said, you know, I got a standard basic job, he was like, oh, fantastic, really well done. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going on this coaching journey and I'm doing these podcasts and YouTube. And he's like, are you sure? You want to be careful doing all that stuff? You know, do you know what you're doing? Why are you doing that? You've got a good job. Now that kind of upset me, that conversation a little bit. So I kind of decided, you know, I didn't want to fall out of that person, but I actually don't talk about those kind of things with that family member. But I do talk, you know, about things we both like. But I will talk about all my coaching, all my writing. He can kind of buy into the writing a little bit, but I will talk about the coaching, the speaking, the podcast to my friends in the personal development world. I've actually had friends in the past who kind of like when I talk to them, they'd just be full of negativity. They weren't being like negative about me, but it's just constant about, you know, their worries. And I haven't had too many of them because luckily I'm quite good at telling early on whether, you know, it's going to work in a friendship or not. Mm-hmm. But what I did do was I kind of just said, you know, I'm not really interested in hearing all this negativity. It's not kind of helping me. And actually we kind of fell out a bit and went quiet, but you know, that's what needed. And I started to hang out with my friends when I felt, you know, having more fun, enjoying life, who are a bit more positive and upbeat. And really that's kind of how I handled that. It's about explaining to the person that I'm not, you know, you're not giving off good vibes. I'm starting to feel down. And first of all, maybe just communicate it to them and they might understand and change. But if they don't, you know, for your own benefit and actually for their own benefit, it's kind of a good thing that sometimes you might need to just walk away. And actually it tells them a message to them. And it does them a favor that, oh, I'm, you know, I'm doing something wrong here. I might need to change. It might not, but it could do that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a great conversation with you, Johnny. If somebody has more information or have more questions for you beyond what we've covered here, how can they find you?
Yeah, of course. So the best place to find me is on social media. So it's on Facebook or Instagram. I've got a group called the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset Group, which I post in every day to give people information and get them thinking. There's also, and I'm also on Instagram where I post similar information. And you can just find me by typing in Johnny Pardo into there. Or you can find my website, which is johnnypardo.com, where I've got links to various social media platforms as well as blogs and videos I do as well. Also, sorry, I didn't mention the podcast. That's also the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset, which I do episodes twice a week at the moment on little tips people can do. They're very short, sort of 10 to 15 minutes episodes. But yeah, that's where people can reach me. So thank you very much for inviting me on the show, James.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You had a YouTube channel.
Yes, a YouTube channel. Johnny Pardo for that one as well. That's also two videos a week. So if you're interested in seeing me in person, probably wearing a blue t-shirt because I do like blue t-shirts, and usually not eating an avocado, but which is my favourite food, and everyone knows me for. But no, I don't eat while I'm doing my videos. Don't worry. but yeah, I'm on YouTube as well.
And they can check out your new hairdo. Didn't you get a new haircut?
I did get a new haircut. Yeah, it's, I usually shoot my videos in kind of a batch, so it might be the quite longer hair, but I'm doing a shoot this week. But yeah, it's very exciting stuff, getting my hair cut, especially. It was my second time since lockdown, so I always love getting a haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been hard for me too getting haircuts. My poor wife has had to cut my hair twice. So
I think they're decent.
Yeah. I ain't complaining.
Oh, well done. Always a hard job.
It is.
Any skill you've mastered.
So any last pieces of information or advice you can give our listeners?
Yeah, so kind of if it's one key message, and I always use this quote, it just gets people thinking. And it's like, you're going to be you for the rest of your life. So I always, don't you see it quite important to like yourself? That's always the kind of question I leave people with. So kind of, if you're thinking about spending your effort in different things, it's really, really important, I feel, to work on loving yourself, because that's going to drive everything. And if you can love yourself, it's going to benefit so many areas of your life. So think about what's more important.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Johnny Pardue, thank you for staying up late your time over in England with us. And
I don't know if we said the actual name of the book, although you've mentioned it a few times, but the actual title of the book is The Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset.
Yep.
The Mental Muscles You Can Conquer.
And you can get it on Amazon for $7.99. It's a good read, good, easy read with a lot of tips and everything. And we heard from the author himself, Johnny Radol. So thank you, Johnny. And if you're listening to Honeymoon Mindset on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, please click a link, rate us, let us know how we're doing. We need to know. We want to know. Comments, questions that you may have, we want to see those, hear those. Topics that you want to hear covered or questions for us, we love them very, very much. You can check out our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset. You can go on there, send us messages. Check it out.
Send us an email.
Yep.
Yep. We're always looking for guest speakers and great topics to talk about on our podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of guest speakers, we do have Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages. He's
just one of his
books. He's been on for the last, I think I read 20 years on the New York Times bestseller list. So, yeah, he's written for kids, teenagers, businesses, love languages. So that's what he's really famous for and known for.
That's what we're looking forward to talking to him about.
Yep. Next week, we're going to be talking about one of the very stressful things that parents have to deal with, parenting. Couples, you know. So we got a great couple coming on. They'll share their unique ways of how they parent, give us another tip and that, and how to deal with it. So again, thank you. Any last words from you, Beth?
No, it was great having Johnny. Thank you for staying up, and good luck on your move.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Okay. Again, thank you for listening to the Honeymoon Mindset, ladies and gentlemen. I'm James, and this is
Beth.
And we are very excited and filled with passion. Again, honeymoonmindset.com. Check it out. PassionateLifeMentors.com. Check that out. That's our website for our business, our parent business, if you want to call it that. So we're very excited. And we'll hear you same time, same station, same channel.
6 p.m. Eastern
time.
Every Thursday.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us this week on Honeymoon Mindset. Make sure to check us out at our website, www.honeymoonmindset.com. If you found value in our show, please check us out on our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset, and share with a friend. If you and your partner want to experience more passion in your relationship, please send us an email at passionatelifementors@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central. Thank you. This is Beth.
and James.
Live like us in paradise with a honeymoon mindset.